Howdy. All right. Man, I hope you had a great time in your classes. I got to sneak around and peek in. Man, they were awesome. They were fantastic. We have one more session before we go to lunch. How many of you are excited about lunch? I'm excited about lunch. All right. All right, we got just a little bit of time this morning. I want to beg you, you could be hungry, but don't teeter to the point where you get hangry, all right? Don't go getting hangry at me. We're going to be in God's Word. We're going to look at something. We're talking about holiness in this session, being devoted to holiness. Now, before alarms, we thought alarms were going off. We're talking about prayer early in the morning. Holiness, let's just kind of break this down. I'm going to need some help here in just a moment. I want to ask some of my friends, if you were a part of the revival and friends, there's just going to be a few of you, like five or six of you. I need your help. You can kind of come on up while we're talking about this. So who were you? Trey and friends? Oh, good. Right here. Go. Come on up. Great. Trey and friends. I'm just kidding. We're glad. All right. So we're going to do this strike a pose thing too. It's going to help us kind of walk through the subject matter this morning. It's still the morning. It's almost the p.m. We're talking about holiness. What are we talking about when we mean holiness? This idea of being set apart. The Bible even beckons us. First, you know, in 1 Peter, there's this quote from the Old Testament where God, there's this challenge to be holy as I am holy. This challenge, this dare, this invitation to do this, to be holy. And holiness, not happiness, some have said, is actually the chief end of man. Holiness and not happiness. Okay, so what does this do? How are we set apart? How are we devoted for holiness? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to strike some poses here. I'm going to walk us through four easy and big ideas, kind of weave through what we're talking about with Scripture so you can get your mind around how do I become a devoted follower of Jesus to holiness. Okay, here's the first one. I want you guys to show this. I think we've got to recognize that we are in a fight. We're in a fight. So, without hurting each other, strike a pose, show me a fight, get positioned, all right? And there's five of you, so maybe there's a double team. Here we go. All right, on the count of three and hold it. One, two, three, go. All right, we're in a fight. Interesting, no one went kind of mixed martial arts here, all right? No one went UFC, all right? All right, I'm going to give you a chance to redo it in a minute, but we're in a fight, all right? So, and what is this fight? And if you know your Bibles well, you know that we have an enemy. There's conflict, there's frustration, there's a war. And in 1 Peter 5, you know this. This is the description of our enemy, 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In other places in the Bible, his name is Satan with a capital S, which I find kind of interesting because that's not in the original language. He doesn't have a proper name. There was a decision made to kind of group these into this specific evil one, but it actually is called the Satan. Like you have, like, hey, I'm going to go feed the dog, lowercase d, not capital D. We've given him a proper name, but he's the enemy. He's your enemy. He is the devil. And we're in this fight. We're in this conflict, all right? And we're wrestling with something beyond often what we can see. I love Ephesians 6 here. We're going to look at a couple of verses. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in this struggle, this fight. One verse prior to that, you know this from VBS and from growing up in church, verse 11 talks about this idea of, go ahead and click that, about putting on the full armor, the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of, notice, the devil. Not proper name Satan, the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. There's this fight, there's this struggle. So I'm gonna give you a chance. One, two, three, one more strike a pose, fight. One, two, three, boom. Oh, wow. All right, we're in a fight. All right, now this is really interesting, particularly this one right here, all right? Hold it, try not to fall, try not to laugh. What is the fight for? Now, we could have a conversation, and you know good and well that you could say this fight is for our souls, it's for our destination, yes. But it's also for something right now. Let's say a word, and you're going to think this is kind of funny. You might even laugh. I think the fight is for your face. Face. So, Show me right now a face. 1, 2, 3, go. All right. What do I mean when I say that there is a fight for your face? Hang with me as I tell you this. I think that there is a fight with principalities and powers and things that we don't always understand, that we often take for granted, for your attention, for your focus, for your face. And this language of face is all throughout the Bible. Old Testament in particular, this idea of our face towards God, His face towards us. It's a really interesting image. I mourn and I'm interested in pouring out my energies for your generation, for my kids' generation, because there's a competition for your face. You realize this. Facebook starts as a texting and they move towards pictures, and now they're all about video. Why? Because they know that if we can see people, it's about our face. Apple, FaceTime, it's all about face. It's all about competition for our attentions, for our face. Here's 2 Chronicles 7. This is God speaking to his people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and what? Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I love that's God's posture towards us, but what about us towards God? Well, consider Psalm 27:9. Do not hide your face from me, and do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Psalm 69:17-18. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I'm in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Redeem me because of my foes. Psalm 67:1-2. May God be gracious to us and bless us. And what? Make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all the nations. Psalm 4, verse 6, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Huh? Countenance? We don't talk like that in church. What's that saying? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. And we sing that. It's in his face. You know this song well from number 6. Well, this is a verse where we sing this song. How many of you sang this song in church before? You've heard this song. You've been in a place where the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. This one is one of my favorites. It's a new favorite, 27:8. When you said, Psalm 27:8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, back to you, Lord, your face, Lord, will I seek. Something about face. We're in a fight for FaceTime. So show me this. Let's combine the two. Y'all ready? Show me you're in a fight for face. Got it? We're taking it to a new level. We're not just fighting. We're fighting for attention, for face. Anyone can try that? You good? Am I making your brain hurt? Don't get hangry. That rule applies to you as well. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. What's the fight for face? 1, 2, 3, go. Strike a pose. Just laughing. You got nothing. All right, so this is it. All right. You might even say this. If I am trying to do this, if I'm in God's word, someone might be trying to point my face away from God's word. So you might come over here. All right? Here's God's word, and there's a fight for the face. So here's what do we do with this? How do we even approach a fight for our attentions, for our focus? Again, I'm mourning with you, I'm hurting with you, because you're an advertised generation, you're a saturated generation. There's visuals all in your space. How do we begin to be holy, set apart? How do you be different in this fight? Here's another weird word. I want to ask you to flee. You want to be different? You want to be holy? Run away! So what does that look like? Strike a pose. 1, 2, 3, flee. Ah, there we go. Strike a pose. Good, good, good. Whoa. Good. Flee. To run away. A biblical concept. You know this well, James 4, verse 7. When speaking of our enemies, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist. Look at the lowercase. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, yeah, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be about. I want to be about resisting the devil. Okay. What do you do when you're outnumbered? Like, what do you do when you're outmatched, when you're outgunned, when you are absolutely surrounded on every side? What do you do then? Well, you flee. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 6 for just a minute. Let's talk about something that, again, it's an old problem, but now it's right at your fingertips in a way that has never been before. How do we do this? How do we flee from this competition for not just our face, our attention, but for our whole body? How do we do that? Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in one flesh? But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. I want to get with God, not something else. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Run away. For all other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. There's competition, there's a fight for your face, and it's really trying to take you down. It's trying to get your eyes off of God and to do what feels good or right, and you're overwhelmed. And I want to beg you to try to be different and devoted to holiness in that. It's no more swipe left, swipe right. It's shut it down. Set it down. Forget it. Turn it off. Walk away. Live to be present for God another day. Don't succumb to something that you know would grieve the heart of God in action or in sight. And let's be honest, at the heart of this is really just about being sneaky. Oh, there's pleasure, but it's about being sneaky and deception. When I talk to my 4-year-old daughter, she doesn't understand sin. She's 4. She's one who's not here. Her name is Mercy, and Mercy is sneaky. Mercy goes into our pantry, and she'll come out, and she'll kind of have a look on her face, and she's wiping her mouth, and she's got the granola bar chocolate around because she has raided the pantry, and it's cute, but it's sneaky, and we're going to have dental bills because she's done that one too many times. It's true. I say, oh, you make me so sad. I love you, you're still my child, you're not kicked out, but this grieves me because it's hurting your body. And it's sneaky, and I wish you would just ask me about it. Flee, run the other way. Paul would also try to say this to a young man, to a young audience, when he would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. Here's what he says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, and this hits all of us square between the eyes. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness. Run away from this enticing thing, this fight for your face and your attentions. Run away and pursue something else. I'm running towards righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with others who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We're not running. You may find yourself alone, late at night, screens, or in a place that is not where God would want you. You may feel outnumbered or alone, either one. But you run, you get away, and you find other like-minded friends who are on this journey. Yeah, man, that's hard. I'm fleeing. I'm running away. I would say it like this. You can't defeat the demons that you enjoy playing with. You can't. Say, I want to get away from evil. I want to flee. Well, you're hanging out. You're having a good time. You can't defeat them if they're your friend. So flee as best you can. Okay, let's end on a good trajectory, because here's another part of holiness, which is distinct. Because we live in a world that's not just putting temptation at our doorstep, it's also putting individualism, and I can drop people, sever people from my life. I want to beg you to forgive. You want to be holy? Learn to forgive. So here's what this looks like. Let's end on a good one, because we've had violence. We've had fleeing, all right? We've had face. Let's do forgive. Show me what forgive looks like on the count of three. Go. We got hugs, and we got, you're the man, Jesus. All right, that's good. All right? Yeah. All right, give me a hand. Y'all been up here. Go. Sit down. Thank you. Great job. Great job. Forgive. Now, why do I want to make the case for forgiveness? Because our enemy, the Satan, the accuser, the blamer, wants nothing more than for you, when someone wrongs you, to get all worked up about it. Meaning, he wants you to remember and get revenge. He wants you to get even. He wants this wound that's happened in your life, this way that someone has dissed you or been wrong to you or crushed you. He wants that to fester, and he wants you to formulate a plan to not just get even, but to actually win and crush them. And there's nothing in the heart of God that does that. There's nothing in the heart of God that does that. We're not a part of anything that deals with revenge. We serve a God who would rather die than kill his enemies. That's who God is. That's what God does. As they're spitting on him and ridiculing him, there's no revenge. We sing songs, at least we have for a long time, hymns about what God could have done in calling down 10,000 angels, but he didn't. And the line of that song that I wish we didn't say he died alone, maybe in a human context. I don't believe he was fully alone. But he forgave even sinners, even haters, while he was on the cross. And if Jesus can do that, you say, well, that's Jesus, man. That is you, like that guy, that's you. That's not me. And yet Jesus says, I want you to pick up your cross and follow me. I want you to follow after me in this way. Ephesians 4. Paul's going to talk about this in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. It says, let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Verse 32. So be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:13, you know this. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I'm just going to be honest about this right now. This gets harder to do the older you get. Cat's out of the bag. We remember longer. The sting hurts more. Again, one of the things that we try to do as parents, and we are decent parents, we're trying to become good parents, but we're decent, is when there is an offense between my children, and I have a lot. The little foster ones, they don't have a lot of language yet, so we'll get there. But with my children, we're working through this idea. When someone hurts another one, we grab them together, and it's not just say you're sorry. We have conditioned them to do two things. Not just, I'm sorry, but the other one has to say, I forgive you. And they leave that encounter and they go play. It's amazing. Children can do this. They don't stand and go, well, you didn't mean it. They don't stand there and go, well, you didn't look me in the eye. They say, I'm sorry. Everyone says, I forgive you. And boom, we have tried to do this so well that sometimes when I bring the encounter up, the person who made the mistake goes, I forgive you. And they go, no, you're the one who needs to say you're sorry. Like, this is what we're trying to do. It gets harder the older we get, because it hurts more. It stings more. We think, that person, they're not really sincere. I got to see them. We are to forgive as the Lord forgives us. I love what Matthew says. This is a message version of Matthew 5:48, which talks about being perfect, being whole. Live out your God-created identity and live generously and graciously towards others the way God is towards you. Let me just kind of review this. Give you something to chew on. Because there's hope. We're going to fight. We're not just all here. Yay, everything's great. You're in a fight. Some of you, you're in a fight like as soon as we leave from here, if not even last night. Maybe on the way here, like you've been fighting some stuff with an enemy who wants to take you down. This enemy wants your attention. He wants your face. And so does God. And we want to be a people devoted to holiness. Says, God, I want to seek your face. And God says, I want to turn my face towards you. Yes. We're going to find ourselves in situations. Anytime you start pursuing God, guess who's creeping around? Try to distract you instantly. It's going to be our enemy. And he wants to take us down. He wants to show us what is pleasurable to us, but is outside of what is holy to God. So we say, man, I got to get out of here. Sometimes I can resist, and in that moment I can rebuke. Other times I go, man, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here, and I got to flee. And God says, okay, I'm with you. You're not alone. And when we've made mistakes, and when others have made mistakes towards us, one of the ways that we can show that we are a different kind of people, a holy people, set apart, just like God is, the God of the nations, we can forgive. We can forgive. It won't even make sense. It's really weird. People hurt us. They're going to keep hurting us. Forgive. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Because that's what God does for us. Simply put, it would be like this. Same way God is towards us, we must be towards one another. That's it. Okay, you know, hey, we're going to have great games. We're going to have illusionists. We're going to have awesome. We're going to have all these awesome things about youth group and church. Great. What's going to be the distinctive marker is how we treat one another. That's it. The paint in this building has changed. It's still a great building. I know this. Things are going to change. I get it. What cannot change, what is distinctive at a human level, a holy people devoted to God who is holy, saying, hey, like we're going to treat others as best we can how God treats us. We're going to be that kind of people. Do we stink at this more than we succeed? Maybe. But we still try. And we still, by God's grace, continue to try and try and try. I think you've just got to want to do this. And God can work with that. You think about that. I'm not feeling it. That's hard. Okay. How about the desire to desire this? And God goes, I can work with that because your face is towards me. We can do it. We can do it. We can become a holy I love to pray for us. I love to pray for lunch, if that's cool too, because again, y'all have been really good this time. Thank you for being hungry, no hangry. If we get delayed, then you can be hangry, but thank you for your attention to this. Hey, I'm praying for us as a church, the church, we will be a holy people. So Father, would you help us? Would you help us? Thank you for seeing us, for meeting us, for giving us a way to seek your face. Father, we give us a bounce in our step. Move us to flee when we need to. Move us towards people we need to forgive. And even be ourselves. But move us to be a forgiving people. God, thank you for being the one who is greater than our enemy. And the fact that you're in us and for us makes all the difference. This world, we will have trouble. We're not going to because you've overcome. And we claim that in Jesus today. Help us this day, Father, to fellowship, enjoy your creation and your beauty today. Thank you for all that has been prepared for us. Just what a treat this weekend has been so far. Continue that joy. Continue stirring us towards devotion to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.